Hi, welcome to New Consciousness New World. This is Esperanza Ray, welcoming you again on a Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time. We're going to continue talking about 2012 and beyond because this is the 2012 year. So we continue to discuss some of the concerns that I've written about, the message that I'm trying to send out to everyone that was provided to me by the voice of God, Metatron. Some people call him an archangel, but actually Metatron is not an archangel. He is the voice of God. He is the highest level of being, and in some cases he is considered to be God himself or a representation of his voice. So we cannot connect with God without the connection through Metatron. And in my own personal experience, it was a process, an extensive process of evolution, growing, and learning, and having a variety of teachers that taught me a great deal of spiritual guidance and information, people that provided me with knowledge and understanding of what exists beyond what we consider to be our so-called reality. And that brings us to today's show. Last week we had a speaker, and we went on talking about energy and transmuting the negativity that surrounds us. And I wanted to focus on that because I got a letter from one of our listeners, and I'd like to share that with you because I feel that it's a very heartfelt letter, and if there has been a misunderstanding, it is possible that this person is not the only one. I'm going to refer to this person by the name of Tom, and that's not the real name. We're doing this to preserve the identity of the listener because I don't know if they would want their name, broadcasted on radio or internet radio for that matter. So I'm going to refer to that person as Tom. And I wanted to share it because it goes along with the message that we are discussing about 2012 and the gloom and doom and the chaos. Now, yes, we have been discussing the gloom and doom because, like I mentioned, and some of you may have joined us before the first show, so for those of you who are kind of joining us a little bit later in the program, I'm basically going over my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Times and Ascension of New Terra and into the Fifth Dimension. This is a book that's out there for anybody who wants to purchase it. It is on Amazon.com, so anybody who desires to purchase it can access it that way. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. It's available in hardcover, softcover, and electronic version. For those of you who, you know, have your electronic technology to read, I personally like books, hard copies, because they preserve better, but that's just my personal preference. And I wanted to make it available to people so that they could have an option one way or another. And so we'll keep going on our issues with 2012, and I wanted to keep on touching upon the fact that we are going through a process of major chaos. And this is just the beginning. This is not the, what I call, when the shit hits the fan yet. We still have a couple of years or a few years before that happens, but it will happen. That's my understanding because some people say, yes, we can change our reality, and that is absolutely true. I strongly believe that. I also believe that we have a series of choices, and based on our choices, we create our own reality, or what we consider to be a reality. It is an illusion. There's no question about this. But while we are in this existence, this is pretty much our reality, and it is very real because we suffer and we live the consequences of our choices. Now, once we make a choice, what unfolds in front of us is a reality based on that choice. Had we made a different choice, our reality would be different. So, for example, I use an example that's very simple. Let's say a person is going to school and they go to a psychic and the psychic tells them, oh, you know what? I see you graduating with honors. You're an incredible, incredible, intelligent person. You're going to do extremely well. And this is my understanding of your reading. Great. That's great. Now, because we are beings that we have the capability of creating our own future, that reality is true until we make a decision to change that. Now, we can decide to follow along with the reality of the choice that we made of going to university and getting a degree and having a nice job related to our degree most of the time. So, what happens next? What if those circumstances could be real? The outcome of what the psychic told this person could be a reality if they continue. But I have the choice to change that reality. I have the choice to say, you know what? I'm not going to continue in university. I am going to go out and do something else. I'm going to, or you could even change your major, for example. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own business, because in the time that it takes me to start my own, to go to university, approximately 4 to 5 years, I can start my own business. And then I could be working for myself. Well, that's also a choice. Now, the prediction of the psychic, was that wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. It was just based on a vision, based on the choice we have made. So, however, if we keep along the path, and if we are at a point where things get set in place, the choice point, or what I also call the point of no return, which means that certain events are locked into place. So, for example, if we continue through university and we're pretty much almost ready to graduate, but we did so bad in school because we were told that we were going to be so brilliant, and, you know, we just figured, well, we'll sleep on our laurels here. I know that I'm going to be so super great in this. And guess what? You maybe not graduate, or you don't graduate with honors because you've made a choice. So there are certain events that are foreseen and can happen or will happen based on your choices. But the outcome of those choices, you have the option to create. So I can choose to have great grades like it was originally foretold, or I can decide to change that and not study, not do anything. No matter how brilliant you are, it's very hard to be an honor roll student if you don't do anything, okay? So those are different choices. We currently, Terra, our planet, us, all humankind, has passed a certain point of no return. That does not mean that we cannot make changes, certain changes. However, certain events are locked into place. And these visions are the outcome of the choices we have made. We have discussed these choices in previous shows, but I'll briefly touch upon them one more time. One was the decision of participating in the war in Afghanistan. And the other choice was the election of President W. Bush. He was a key point in our choices, okay, in what humanity was going to go through. I was the understanding that he was the right person for the job. That doesn't mean that he's the right person for the job to give us the ideal perfect world and avoid chaos. My understanding is he was the right choice to set us in our current path for the transition of humanity to our next level. And in order for us to transcend to the next level, we have to get rid of all our crap. Okay, we have to get rid of all the dirt and grime. If you're going to go out to a party, if you're going to go out to a celebration, you usually try to clean yourself up, shower, you know, if you've been out in the garden getting dirty, or if you've been out running, or if you've been out playing with friends or whatever, you want to shower. And maybe even if you have not gone out to a party or you know, been doing a lot of exercising, you may want to take a shower and refresh yourself, and then dress up, get nice and clean. Doesn't have to be fancy depending on the party, but you kind of prepare for that. Well, this is where we're at with our transition. We are preparing. We are getting ready for that. And before we can be ready, you could say we are in the rebirthing cleaning, clearing process. Now, let me read to you a little bit what our listener, Tom, was saying. Today was the second time that I found myself listening to your radio show after having gone on to BBS International and listening to another show host. Many times during both of your shows I found myself saying to myself, this is not feeling good to me. Hey, that's okay. It doesn't have to feel good, and you don't have to agree with what I'm saying. I'm delivering a message. You can accept it, reject it. You can say, well, interesting, but not for me. Or, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Or, so that's that, you know? It's up to you. You don't have to accept everything that I say as written in stone, because I am seeing the future based on our choices up until now. I am seeing the choices that we have made, and I'm discussing those choices in the book. I'm discussing the consequences of these choices. And we can, and I've said this several times, not once, but many times in the show, as a matter of fact, I believe I've mentioned this in every show, the message of the book is a message of hope. It's not a message of gloom and doom. The problem is, the thing is that the book is written in reverse chronological order. In the show, we're going in chronological order. So for those of you who have the book and are reading the book, you may say, wait, where is she? Because this is not how the book starts out. That's right. The reason I'm going in chronological order is because we are discussing today's events, and then we'll be discussing the very near future of those events when the real shit hits the fan. Now, if some of you think that we have a lot of gloom and doom so far in the show, we haven't hit the major parts yet. And that's okay, because, again, we're cleaning house. Then we'll talk about the positive. Now, let's continue to see what Tom said. I relate with you on many topics, including our true divine self, working with the light and love energy. But whenever you are forecasting, predicting, sharing Metatron messages of devastation, destruction, darkness, it always felt off. You know something? It can feel off, and it also can feel uncomfortable, because sometimes we hear things we don't want to hear. And when something puts us outside our comfort zone, we kind of change or respond or react to them. The Bible talks about the same or similar thing that I'm talking about. I'm not inventing anything new. The difference is that the Bible is predicting a generalized gloom and doom. I'm predicting a more specific gloom and doom. And that's why I mention in the book that these are new revelations that have not been addressed before. We are going into the details of the nitty-gritty, and it is with the intent of overcoming the nitty-gritty and of passing through this nitty-gritty that we are providing a message of hope so that we do not get caught up in the gloom and doom. Now, our reader, Tom, says, I acknowledge that your intentions in sharing information is in good place, but I feel I need to share with you my feelings about it. Hey, truthfully, I appreciate this kind of information. I appreciate feedback. And I'm very pleased that you are an active participant in the show. I am very pleased that you are willing to step out on the limb and express your opinion. This is what the show is about. So I don't feel offended. I don't feel sorry that you sent me this email. On the contrary, I appreciate it, and I'm very happy to receive it. Tom goes on to say, I am also studying a course, and I won't go into the course, but I will give you an idea of what this course is about. Or actually, why not? It's a very well-known course, the Course in Miracles, which I have a great deal of respect for. And understand that God says to never correct your brother, and hope that you take this as a listener offering you their experience. I appreciate that, and I do take it as that. And I appreciate your sharing your opinion and your experience. That is what the show is about. So I do appreciate that. And I welcome other listeners to do the same. As a matter of fact, I've been proactively asking the listeners to participate if you would like. I know that this is not the best time of the day to be talking on a radio show because a lot of people are working during these hours. And if you are listening at work, you're not going to be sitting there on the phone talking to me about the gloom and doom when you're at work and your coworkers may be hearing the message. So, you know, obviously I respect that. But I appreciate the fact that through the blog, through Research CIA, that we have a consciousness blog there. And obviously BBS, our station, has also a blog. And through the emails, which this listener sent. So, again, very appreciated. And I think I also go along with the lines in where the Course in Miracles says never to correct your brother is about non-judgment. I think that is what they're trying to say. That's what it's relating to. Because when we correct someone, we are basically providing an opinion or a judgment sometimes. So I think that's where it's coming from. And it's okay to have an opinion. It's okay because when you have an opinion, you have questions, you have experience, you have expertise, you have knowledge of your own life. And everybody has that. Okay, now I worked, you might say, well, who are you to provide this message? Well, I worked very hard, and I dedicated my life to God. My life has been dedicated, and I've surrendered my will. Now, that's another story because it's not an easy task for anybody to surrender their will. I tell you, more than one occasion, I find myself catching myself from, I'm supposed to be surrendering my will, and here I am, you know, doing things that are not surrendering of the will. But that's a process. We all grow, and we all learn, and we all understand what it means. It's a growing process. That's what we are going through. That's what allows us to ascend to the next level. If we already had all the answers, we would already be ascended masters, okay? And unfortunately, we're not there yet, but that is our path. Now, in regards to the Course in Miracles, I would also like to express that the Course in Miracles understands our world, the one we consider the trees, the birds, the houses, our environment, the planet, is an illusion. And because it is an illusion, we may not really have much to choose, or we can change it, and that, you know, it's not real. So we keep reminding ourselves that it's not real. Well, guess what? While we do live in an illusion, I agree with that 100%, we are existing within the illusion. And until we have the veils removed, which we will have, and I will talk about that in the last part of the book, or in reality will be the first part of the book, Section 1 and Section 4, until we go through the process of Section 4 of creating a world of balance, of mental organization, mental control of ourselves, not of others, then we will be able to ascend. We will be able to focus on the love and the light energy, and we will be able to exist on it. And we, more and more, the more we do this, the more we're able to maintain the vibration. But guess what? We are not there yet. If we were there, we wouldn't be having all the things we're having, the economy breaking down, people losing jobs, people that are homeless, children that are homeless. You know, so many catastrophes, there are even natural disasters. I mean, these things are real for us because we are existing in this reality. And now, until we can transcend it, until we could bypass it, we have to deal with it. The only way for us to transcend it is by focusing on the love energy and the light. And that's absolutely correct, Tom. I would agree with you 100% that you need to focus on that energy. I totally applaud your desire, and that's the whole focus of the show, to give you an understanding that, yes, this is a chaotic moment. It is a moment that we have to go through, that we have to process, and the only way to process it is through meditation, through focusing on light and love and energy. Okay? So that let's go ahead with this thought in mind. I'm aware that the powerful creators we are in what we create as our reality. And after listening to your program and what I felt like too much time focused on the negative. Well, it's too much time focused on the negative because we are following my book. And I understand that you want to focus on the love. There's nothing new preventing you. But we also cannot, as spiritual beings, we cannot hide our heads in the sand. Or, you know, ignore what is happening around us. We also have to be active participants, not passive bystanders. Now, I'm not saying that you are, our listener, Tom, is a passive participant, but I want to emphasize that because of the choices we make, because we have the ability to create, we have an incredible being that is considered our God. And he has made us, or, you know, I know some people are not comfortable with the image of God as a male. However, I really don't want to get caught up in this duality thing because God is above the duality. That's why I go by the abstract names of God, Creator, God, so on. This powerful being has made us so powerful on our own that it doesn't take away from its greatness. It only tells us how incredible, magnificent, wondrous this being is. And as such, we need to recognize our greatness, our divinity, and most important, our ability to participate actively in the world and change this reality. It's only by recognizing the chaos, the negativity, the all the anger, frustration, fear that we have, all this negative energy, all this negativity, it is only by recognizing a problem that we can correct it. It is only by understanding how we co-create it that we can correct it. Okay, so it is important to know what is coming. And because we know what is coming, we can prepare for it. We cannot prepare for something if we don't know what's coming. And I tell you, the visions I've had, my words do very little justice to what is coming. And people, you better get your shit together. Pardon my French, but you really need to get your stuff together because what's coming is incredible, incredible powerful. And you need to be able to deal with it. And that is why this information is being provided through people like me and through other people that have dedicated their life to preaching God's message so that we as a human race can rise above our shit. Pardon again my French, but that's the fact, okay? And when this hits the fan, it's going to be a lot worse. But it is precisely because it's going to get a lot worse that we need to understand that the outcome is more than worthwhile. Just like when you're cleaning house, everything is all upside down, everything is on the floor or on the tables or wherever you want it to be. You know what? You eventually clean all of that up and put it back in place, and you know what? The place will look awesome. With the same thing with our life, with our world, with our spirituality, we need to recognize who we are. We need to understand the mess that we have created. And by understanding it, we can see how we are guilty for what we have done. We are responsible. And in being responsible, human beings, we know that we need to change it. Not through violence, but through nonviolence. Because that's the message of most ascended masters. It definitely was the message of Jesus, or Yeshua, as I prefer to call him, because that's his real name. Okay? So, This Tom says, I would rather have a feeling that my power of intention and focus can be used in a positive way, such as transmuting all the negative thoughts, ideas, actions, memories, and miscreations into something pure and positive through the violet flame, meditation, prayer, and connection with the source. Right on. That's absolutely true. We can definitely do all of that. And that's the whole point. However, that does not mean, again, not recognizing the mess we've created, why, how, and how to correct it. And it doesn't also to understand that meditation and creating positive thought is not going to mean that your problems stop. Okay, you're still going to have to address issues. You're going to have to address your karma. You're going to have to address your the responsibility of your cause and effect is what I like to call it, because my understanding is most of our karma has already been cleared. However, the cause and effect of our day actions still creates a lot of things for us. And by maintaining the balance is one of the things that I have been mentioning, not once, but over and over in the radio show, New Consciousness, New World, that it is by maintaining a balance that you can overcome all of this. That does not mean that everything is going to be nice and rosy and perfect. Okay, it's not going to be nice and rosy and perfect, and you have to be able to accept that and to address that and to try to maintain balance. What I can also say is that if you're coming from a place of balance, of energy and meditation and prayer and connection to source, the way you're going to be able to handle your problems is definitely going to be a lot better than those people who don't do that, who are caught up in the anger, who are caught up in the hate, who are caught up in the negativity. And I applaud you for doing all these things, because when we all do this, when we all know that there's a lot of things that are out there that are going to be happening, and we focus on this, it raises the energy vibration, and it makes what is transitioning through us much more easy and much more comfortable to handle. But you have to keep in mind that not everybody on the planet is on the same page. And there's still a lot of people. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is watch television and what's popular today. And vampires are popular. Zombies are popular. Talking to the dead is popular. Ghosts are popular. Well, you know what? That's all based on fear. It's based on killing. It's based on death. Our goal is to focus on life and resurrection and transitioning into the light and becoming full light beings. So I was talking last week, we were talking about the changes that the planet is going through, and I wanted to bring this out to talk to the, all the listeners, because if Tom had a misunderstanding of what I was trying to do, there's a great possibility that other listeners have that the same misconception, and we need to clarify those misconceptions. We talk about gloom and doom at this point, yes. We talk about it because it is necessary to understand what is going to be facing us. It is also necessary for us to see that we can overcome that. In the moments of the most drastic changes, in all the chaos, and all things that are going to go wrong, it is important to maintain that balance through prayer, through different types of meditations like the violet flame, which is a great meditation I love and I use. And there's other meditations as well, which I have been shown through my guardian angels, through my spirit guides, and through Metatron. I've gone through a process of learning different techniques. A lot of these techniques I share with you. Some of them I've shared some meditations with you. I have some meditations on my website that are free. www.researchcia.com has some free meditations. And I offer those because those were given to me as a gift of this commitment that I feel is necessary and I'm completely passionate about, because it's about us, it's about humanity, it's about helping each other. We were talking in the, not the last show, but the previous one, we were talking about the changes that are happening on the planet, and I was talking specifically about the Middle East. The devastation and man-made natural disasters also play a big part role. So not all the chaos is a consequence of our karmic issues. It also is a process of the planet reacting to our karma, to our lack of respect for nature and our lack of love for nature and each other. It's also a process of the planet itself cleaning itself of its negative energy and overcoming that. And this is part of the process. The natural disasters will be part of that process. We're all interconnected. We're all going through the same change. We're all evolving as one. Therefore, it's going to affect the entire being of us, our energy centers, and the, guess what? The planet also has energy centers that are also impacted, okay? And this is what's going to happen. You'll have tidal waves, torrential rain, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, storms, and meteorite showers. All of this I discuss. And, you know, also I will be providing insights. Not all of them are doom and gloom, okay? We're doing the doom and gloom here because of we're following the book. But I have a newsletter, which if you would like to register for, it is on www.researchcia.com that you can participate in and receive for, you know, if you like, and forward it to your friends and relatives if you feel that they would benefit them. But a lot of positive things. I will be talking probably on our next show about the Thrive, the movie, which is an incredible, powerful movement, as well as incredible information that I've had the blessing to come across. So I talk about that in my newsletters. I write a couple of articles, and everybody can read them who received the newsletter. And it touches on some of these things, but it focuses more on the positive, the things we can do to resolve a lot of this. So again, now we're talking about the doom and gloom. We will be talking more about the outcome and the solution. So parts of the existing continents will sink into the depths of the waters. Terra will have a new face from what you currently know today. Currently, there are 7 continents on Terra. Once the disruption settles down, there will be 13. And like I mentioned before, in my website, there are pictures and images. If you have the book, it's on the cover, too. The world picture of the new face of Terra, the 13 continents. And I just happened to count that because I know 13 is a very powerful number for transitioning, transcending, and the ascension process. So I somehow my mind goes towards those things and tries to see the relationship and things. And I just found it very interesting that currently we have 7 and we will have 13. So Mediterranean is now the only place where devastation will occur. As I have stated, 3 countries will be the initial points for the start of the war. The Mediterranean serves as the bridge for the war to extend itself through Europe. The Middle East is the gate for the war into Asia. While terrorism has already hit globally, it is still in its infancy. Okay? So like I said, if you think this is gloom and doom, we're getting closer to the gloom and doom, and you're going to see a little tiny speck of it, okay? I just want you to understand that it's very hard for me to put into words all the things I have seen. However, in the books to follow, 2 of the books, because I will be doing it in chronological order for the books that are to follow, 4 more books, and then I'll go from currently all the changes that are going to be happening. I'll be very detailed and very specific. And some people maybe get ticked off at that, but, you know, I have a message. This is what I've been told to provide, and this is the information I'm going to provide. You know, it may not be pleasing to everybody, and not everybody might like it, but not everybody liked Jeshua's message either, and it's still, that didn't change the fact that it was the message and the words of God. Okay. So the Mediterranean serves as a bridge and into Europe and the Middle East into Asia. While terrorism has already hit globally, it's in the infancy stage. The war itself is not yet global. Yes, all the countries are participating, so you could say there's a world war going on. However, this understanding of the world war is the war will actually impact directly each country and each continent. So get ready, America, because it's on its way here, too. And we know that by September 11th, okay? By global, I'm referring to war being fought throughout the world. Once Europe and Asia are at war, America will not follow far behind, trying to stand by its allies and preserve as much of civilization as possible. Terrorism will utilize its mobility as a key weapon. It will swoop through and jump around the globe in a dance to gather the weak and abandoned people by offering them a chance to live one more day and providing them with a way out of the system that neglects them. I'm talking about the third world countries and how children are being incorporated into fighting militia, and because they have no place to go. They either don't have a family, or their family can't care for them, or they've been sold into military slavery, for that matter, or terrorist slavery, which is different, I guess, because the military does have some rules and regulations. For many, it is the only means of survival, and that's why they have to join these organizations, not because they necessarily believe. So I provide in the book also several meditations. In this specific case, I provide what is called the Pillar of Light. And this is a wonderful meditation, which, again, you can find on my website. The Pillar of Light is, my understanding based on Metatron, is the most powerful meditation that exists anywhere on the planet and in the universe, because it's a pillar of white light, which the white light includes all the other colors, and it's much more powerful than just using one specific color. Each color has a specific purpose. The white light has an overall purpose that includes and incorporates all the others because of its energy vibration, and because it includes all the other colors as well in their energy vibration. This is a light, a pillar of light that descends directly from the Godhead, and you imagine this pillar covering and surrounding you completely, and then you feel the energy penetrating to every part of your being, and it's an incredible, incredible, powerful pillar of light, and my understanding is nothing can withstand the power of the absolute, unconditional love of God. It's so pure and perfect that nothing negative can withstand against it. So, yes, I'm talking about the gloom and doom. I'm also being given direction and guidance to protect yourself, to help yourself, and to maintain a way of balance and harmony to prevent this from becoming overwhelming. Okay. So now I'm on. We're going to be discussing again a little more about Europe and Africa. Metatron says the war being fought is a global war. Many countries are involved in the war that started in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are the two countries, although there are three major countries. The point here is that while the war is being fought by several countries, the fighting is taking place only in a couple of countries. This will change in the near future. The war will be fought in all countries, reaching almost every corner of the globe, okay? Every corner of the globe. And we're going to be going continent by continent about each place that it's going to be. And, of course, we'll also talk about some of the places of safety. So, again, doom and gloom, get over it. Metatron and I focus on our attention on Europe and Africa. You can see, Metatron says, the war moving slowly but steadily from the south of Europe into the rest of the continent. The path of the war follows pretty much the historical routes utilized by the Moors and later the Romans during their invasion of Europe. Turkey, Greece, Italy, and Spain are perfect geographical bridges that reach into the sea, facilitating the passage into the rest of the continent. However, the war is already at the gates of Europe at this point. In a short period of time, it will migrate into the central and northern Europe from Spain. The fighting moves into France. From Italy, it progresses into Switzerland and Austria. From Greece, it leads the fighting towards Albania and Macedonia. Turkey reaches into Bulgaria. From these locations, the war efforts continue north into Romania, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany, reaching all the way to the United Kingdom, Denmark, and Finland. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is serious, because we are in a very serious situation right now. We are fighting literally for our lives and, for most important, for our souls. We are fighting for the transformation and becoming the divinity, the divine being that we are called to be. And it is a fight, because they do, whether people want to believe it or not, there are the fallen hierarchies. And those fallen hierarchies want to keep us enslaved, and they want to keep us from overcoming this illusion. They want to keep us caught in the illusion. They want us to stay here and become the little slave. And we'll discuss that also in the movie that I mentioned, Thrive, because it is powerful, and it's something that I strongly believe in. So we'll be talking about that in one of our other shows. And this is going to be, I like to compare this to rebirthing, because this is literally what it is. We are rebirthing ourselves to our divinity, to what we were, and we have forgotten what we can accomplish, what we can do, and have not done, and are afraid of doing, okay? Changing your habits, any kind of change to your habits, causes us to be a little nervous or a little tense. Just try to change your own weaknesses, and you'll see for yourself there is a part of you that is reluctant, because we have a pattern of behavior that we kind of don't want to let go. And this is what we're doing right now. Our planet, not just us as individuals, but our country, our continent, our world, our galaxy, and our universe are going through this whole process. And we're not alone. We are in this together with other races. And I'm not referring just to races here on our planet. I'm referring to races from outside our planet. Yes, ETs, extraterrestrial beings, some of the light and some not so much of the light. Okay, so terror mirrors humanity's chaotic state through floods, hurricanes, typhoons, tidal waves, and earthquakes. Humanity reflects its mental state through terrorism, war, tyranny, abuse of power, and biological and chemical weapons. Even the galaxy appears involved in this process through small meteorite showers. The Earth is rebirthing, and the universe is participating. The process is like a mother giving birth to her child, and everything must be ready for the new arrival. And if you're not ready, guess what? It's coming anyway. Have you ever seen a baby turn back when they're being born? No, it just keeps coming. In the book, I provide also several maps and several images of what we're discussing. It actually shows the changes in the different continents, and we break it down by areas, like the areas we're talking about. Throughout North and South Atlantic, moving from north to south, four main plates meet, creating the highest point of the mountain ranges along the Atlantic Ocean. So if you can visualize in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, although, you know, the Atlantic Ocean squiggles and curves around the continents, you can imagine that the tectonic plates are meeting, four tectonic plates, two on the top and two on the bottom. And where these tectonic plates meet, because of the overwhelming pressure of the lava underneath the tectonic plates, the lava will erupt. And because of the changes in the polar, the pole shifts, because of all these changes, it's going to impact the pressure of this lava, which is already very volatile and is ready to explode. And as a matter of fact, if you recall, not very long ago, there was some news in the Canary Islands, which belongs to Spain, right on the north of Africa, on the west side, northern part of Africa, close in between Morocco and the Sahara Desert. There were some very serious volcanic action, and to the point that the matter from the volcanic action actually created a covering that disrupted communications and interfered with flights, and in some cases the flights were canceled because of all of this. So this is not anything that I'm inventing, people. This is happening. It's not something I made up to as a science fiction movie to make it sound good and to sell books. This is about sharing a message which was given for a purpose. And so basically this will create the new continent, and the highest point of the mountain range along the Atlantic Ocean, lava will push these plates apart and rise to the surface, creating two new continents. These two continents will be known as North and South Atlantic, will touch the Southern Europe and Northern Africa. In Europe, the Iberian Peninsula will meet the North Atlantic continent. Africa will connect with the new continent through the Canary Islands, which will rise to a higher altitude. Okay? So this is happening. And I've inserted in the book a comment by Victor Hugo, which kind of goes along very well with the topic that I'm currently discussing. It says, "It is by suffering that humanity begins to become angels." So I guess we need to get, and that's not something that's a punishment, okay? Some people believe there's a punishment from God. I want to make it clear that it's not a punishment. It is a consequence. It's a consequence of our, of our own things. We are getting rid of our crap. We're getting rid of the negativity. We are releasing all the negative emotions, all the fears, all the turmoil that we've developed as children, that we've developed as human beings through our life, and we are trying to get. And you know what? Each time we overcome certain things, we're peeling an onion, and different things are going to be coming, and sometimes it feels like we're going back in full circle. So, I mean, it's not something temporary. It's a progress. And until we finally reach the breakthrough point, we're going to be experiencing it, okay? Metatron continues, "The water levels will also rise. The giant rising landmass will push the waters into lower land areas, submerging parts of Europe and Africa. The larger rivers will lead the water along their paths inward to the continent. Riverbeds, especially large ones, will become dangerous ground as the mass of water moves inward. Some of the water will recede a bit when settled, but large areas of the land will have disappeared forever underwater." So, you know, and then again, I have some maps of the different areas of the tectonic plates and what they look like, and also of the landmass and its changes. So basically, right now we are covering the dramatic changes of the planet. And if you notice this, it's very much in tune and in alignment with our own progress. There are certain areas that are going to be more in balance. There are some people that are more in balance. And there are other areas that are going to be more chaotic, and that's true for us as well. So, you know, we're right in oneness with nature, with the world, with everything that's happening around us. And I like to point that out and continue to emphasize on it. Now, the point of this book is not to focus on the negative, but more to focus on what we need to do to maintain a balance during this time of hardship, of chaos, of turmoil, per se, within us and outside of us. So keep that in mind for a minute, and try to imagine the world and yourself and how all of this relates to you, because there is a very close relationship between us, our world, our environment, our universe, our galaxy. All of this is in complete relationship with us. Lowlands near the sea will suffer the greatest devastation, obviously, because they're more exposed to the waters and to the changes that are going to happen. these are main ranges in Europe. There are, now we're going to talk a little bit about the areas that are obviously, from the water's perspective, some of the safer areas. From the perspective of lava, earthquakes, that's a different story. It's going to really depend on us maintaining a balance. And some of the techniques that I have been shown is for protection, for maintaining a certain level of sanity, and not just, and I'm not referring just to protection from mental or energetic, but I'm referring to protection from these natural disasters as well. There is a certain level of techniques that we can learn to help us in this process of creating protection. One of the techniques I have learned was through the Pillar of Light, and as you use the technique more and more, you can actually protect a radius around. I initially started being able to use it for a radius of a half an hour around me, extending it later on to an hour, and now it's pretty much, you can actually do it globally. So as you use these techniques and you become more in tune and more imbalanced as your energy vibration raises and becomes one more connected more and more to source, then you are able to utilize and expand those capabilities of protection and bring in a certain level of balance. And even to some degree control the weather. I mean, if you remember in Jeshua's time, he was able to calm the storms and walk on water. Well, we will be able to have these abilities, but not without some practice. It's sort of like if you're a container and you push yourself out on the ocean, the amount of water is going to sink you down, and you'll be overwhelmed basically by the water. So you might start with a drip of water, with some drops, and then a faucet running, and then as you grow and grow, more energy flows into your being, and you become a more light and light being. And the crystalline structure that exists within you actually evolves, and your DNA is transformed little by little so that you're able to absorb more and more of this life force. That's why I'm telling you, just because you're dedicating yourself to meditating and being a spiritual being, it's going to be a progression. It doesn't happen overnight. And, it's dependent on our commitment, our level of really dedicating ourselves to spirituality, to meditation, to prayer, and to healing of what's happening. Okay, so we can protect ourselves in this. We can calm the storms. We would be able to do all of this when we have the capability and the belief. Even if a mustard seed would be enough to do that, you would have the ability, and this is written in the Bible, it's not something I'm making up, that to say, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to the mountain, go into the sea, and it would obey. This is how powerful as a human being you are. This is what we have the capability of doing. And just in the same way we have the capability of doing, we have the capability for creating negativity. Thank God that up until now there has been, let's say, what I would call a safety on that prevents us from completely receiving the reverse of our negativity, because it would basically destroy us. And if you're noticing that the violence on the planet has increased, it is because that safety is being removed, and we are left more and more to address our negativity, to deal with it. And that is what is happening, and that is what is going to create this chaos. And as people, more numbers of people evolve more and more, the more we can hold this positive energy, the more easily and quickly we can transform and transcend this process. Okay. The next part, we're going, high altitudes not only provide water protection, but due to the remote location are great sanctuaries for the chaos and the devastation. Keep in mind that earthquakes, meteorites, hurricanes, tornadoes, and biological chemical weapons can occur anywhere and will. So there, you can't run away from everything. However, certain areas, because they're not remote, will provide a certain amount of safety because there is military or governmental control. On the other hand, the surrounding areas that are a little more obscured will have a predominance of gangs that dominate and control. And then the very remote areas where people can find safety and solace and sanctuary, there will be communities that will welcome the wandering, the people that are wandering throughout the country, throughout the continent, looking for a place. They will find havens. They will be directed by spirit to go here and there, and they will find the haven that they're searching for. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. All of these things are provided, and this is why these messages are being given to us right now. Okay, we're going now into Africa. Metatron directs me towards Africa. With a lack of resistance in Africa, this continent is quickly overtaken by war. The war extends southward from Morocco, Algeria, Libya, and Egypt. Diseases and famine keep the population weak and controlled in many countries, especially in the northern part of the continent. The central and southern belts provide a little more resistance, but not enough to prevent the war from plowing all the way to South Africa. Drought does little to help the situation. And, of course, lack of water has been a major issue already in Africa for a while. War appears to provide a way out of the misery of everyday life. Becoming a soldier ensures food, weapons, and gives a certain level of power and control. The possibility of new governments bringing some hope for tomorrow is also a source of hope. This hope is short-lived, as Africa is the hardest-hit continent. Help previously provided by more prosperous countries is almost non-existent. Countries that still retain a certain level of superiority focus their support and assistance on areas that can provide some commodity. For example, rare minerals, precious stones, which Africa has plenty of. Everyone is looking out for their own interests. Given this scarcity of resources, you kind of have to, choose and pick who you're going to help, who has the most likely chances or possibilities of surviving, and also being an ally that can support and give you some kind of strength. Africa, like other parts of Tura, will also suffer the worst of massive tidal waves and flooding due to a rise in water levels. The Sahara, the Kalahari deserts will be covered in water. Safer areas are the Rift Valley in the Ethiopian highlands, the Atlas Mountains stretching from below the Canary Islands to the middle of the Mediterranean is a safe haven from the waters, given the fact that the land will be rising. The highest point of this range is over 13,000 feet. The Nile is the longest river in Africa and will direct the floodwaters along its path into the central lake. So that's an area that will be covered in water. This will divide up the continents into two main sections. The Congo and the Nigerian rivers provide a third division. Africa now gives way to three new continents. So this is one of the other major changes. Now let's talk a little bit about Australia and Asia. Metatron continues. The war crosses over into Asia through the Middle East, gradually making its way over the mountains into Russia, India, and China. This occurs in parallel with Europe. Some smaller cities and towns are abandoned or are in the hands of gangs as people run for safety of the more populated areas with any semblance of order and government. Locations where military and emergency services are still active. Some seek out relatives in more secure areas. Others just run from the desolation of their land and homes with no clear direction. Or it seems that the direction is not clear. Sometimes spirit guides you the best when you think you're going without any direction. Along the way, some will pass dangerous ground and will not make it. Others will reach their destination, and for a short time, they will find safety. Caution is needed, as the roads are treacherous and often traveled by groups trying to survive as well. Back roads offer better odds. As survival becomes the number one priority, some are looking out for themselves, and killing becomes a way of life for survival. Reduction in the police and military due to the ongoing fighting greatly decreases the numbers and limits their control. Again, this will be a reduced resource that we currently have available, but which will be greatly impacted by the years of chaos. And I'm not saying it's going to be many, many years, but it's going to be in several years that we're going to be caught up in this. Many are willing to join for the benefit of jobs offers, where even the limited resources, you're barely able to support the existing military and emergency services. But it's better to have something than not to have anything at all. It's better to have some kind of protection and some kind of organization than to be completely overrun by the gangs and other organizations that are interested in their own benefit. Metatron explains the highest mountain ranges are the Himalayas, found in Asia. This range expands along the central part of the continent through China, Pakistan, Tibet, Nepal, and Bhutan. Lesser mountain ranges such as the Tian Shan, Kunlun, also in the center of Asia, are safe areas. The Ural Mountains in East Asia run from north to south. All of these provide greater areas for sanctuaries because of their high altitude and isolation. Mongolia is a great example of high elevation living. In the past, Mongolia was well known for its invasion abilities, taking what they needed, thus the Wall of China. Yet able to keep at bay an invasion of their own territory, these people are well adapted to harsh conditions of the high altitude and remoteness of their country, making them extremely independent and self-sufficient. So they will be great resources that can be offered and take in people. If anyone can overcome the devastation, they definitely can, because they have a lot of background in survival and independence. Nepal and Bhutan are some of the better-known countries also adept to living at high altitudes. Lesser-known neighbors are also good areas. These countries are valuable resources and great areas to relocate. Metatron states, North Asia will be the largest extension of land to be submerged by the waters. This covers large parts of Russia and northern China. Rising sea levels and massive tidal waves will beat down the plates of Eurasia. From the North Sea and the Pacific, large waves rise over the shores, making their way through the flatlands, driving the large masses of water over the numerous rivers that run through the north of the continent. In the West, Asia continues to be connected to what is left of Eastern Europe. In the Northwest, the mountain ranges are safe from the waters as well. The highest range in Central Asia is the largest area left to evade the waters. The south has also succumbed under the pressure of the massive tides following the rivers. This once large continent is scaled down to three sections divided by new seas. So we will have a lot of naming of new ground, but this is kind of what awaits us. And as we continue with our show, I wanted to point out that we will be addressing more and more focus on what we can do, the solutions that we can implant or implement in our daily life, and how that can help us through these times. Not only through connection with Source can we be guided to protect ourselves and to receive guidance, we can also be more balanced and centered so that we do not get overwhelmed by the negative energies that are also floating around us. We are being bombarded right now with so much positive energy that those people who are in balance, that are focusing on prayer, on meditation, are considering themselves and focusing their intent on the energies of helping each other and supporting each other as human beings, will find it easier to survive. Those who are under the chaos, the fear, the anger, the frustration, the wondering what's going to happen, they will receive the full-blown hit of their own negativities, their own negative thoughts, and their own turmoil. And the stronger these energy vibrations are, the more irritation, the more anger, frustration, and turmoil they will create for those who are not in balance. Okay? But those are for people who are not in balance. That's why this is a point in a time for us to become active participants of our own life, finding active participation and dedicating time to meditation, to prayer, to meeting with other people of like mind, to sharing our thoughts, our ideas, and to keep focusing on what we can do as human beings to improve our life, to improve our environment, to improve our world. That is where our focus needs to be, regardless of what's coming down the pike. This is the outcome, and we need to keep our thoughts on the outcome, and the outcome is more than worth all the turmoil, all the stress, all the frustration that we're going to go through. Okay, so I'd like to leave you with a thought. For next week, I'm going to be discussing the movie The Thrive, which is not just an informative, incredible documented movie. It has a lot of research, a lot of investigation, and a lot of incredible people that are high officials in the government, that are astronauts including, that are going to be, they basically talk to us about what's coming, why we're in this situation. Now, some of this information I was already familiar with, but I had bits and pieces. Now, through watching this movie, all of it makes sense and fits in. All the pieces are part of a larger picture. And when you can understand that, then you understand what's happening around us. You might already have some insight. Now you need to understand the full picture. The most important part of this movie is, again, The Thrive. The most incredible part of that movie is towards the end. It's divided up into three parts. The code, which deciphers a lot of the symbology that surrounds us and provides us with a blueprint for unlimited energy, a source of unlimited energy that exists all around us and how to tap into it. And then on top, the second part of the movie talks about the all the chaos, all the following the money and the organization structure behind all that. And then the last part of the movie, which I think is the most powerful, provides us with solutions, ongoing solutions that we can implement every day in our lives, in our town, in our home, in ourselves as individuals, and, you know, impact everything around us. So I wanted to thank you for listening to the show. I invite you to join us next week for a little less gloom and doom, and hope you enjoyed the show. And keep coming back and refer your friends to us. New Consciousness, New World. Have a wonderful week, and God bless.